Gamecast from MSN.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome to the MSN Gamecast. This is Ian Lee. I've got two people with me, and you can introduce yourselves this time. Nick, with the mouthful of Jaffa Cake. Mm.
Hello, I'm Nick from MSN Games.
Yeah, well done.
And I'm Verity from the same place.
Don't we sound mysterious and indeed cool? Anyway, I've been playing lots of games this month, and I would suspect that we've all at least had a little go on the same ones. Well, L.A. Noire we'll get to in a bit. The first one is the game that's... There's been three quite big games that have come out, apart from L.A. Noire. And the first one that's been hyped is Duke Nukem.
Indeed.
Has anyone here played it?
I played a very small section of it.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
I stood a very wide berth.
I was so excited when I got it, and it looks great, and you open it, and you put it in I played it on the Xbox, and it's just a stinker from kind of... It's quite clunky at the start. But I thought this will pick up, and then it's quite funny. It's got that kind of Scream self-referential thing where he's playing the game himself, and he makes loads of jokes about the game being really late, whilst he's being pleasured by two twins. I thought, okay, this is where it's gonna go. You know, I can kind of get this humour, but it did feel like it was 1995 playing the whole game in terms of the humour, which is, you know, is very laddish and FHM and. You know, I'm trying to think, would a teenage me have got that, maybe? The music is awful, man. It is like some awful 90s rock soundtrack. And the graphics are... they're not worthy of 2011 at all.
Yeah, we've... one of our colleagues actually went to go and play a couple of months ago, played through the first sort of hour, I think, and he actually said to them, these graphics, you know, the finished thing, and they were like, oh no, we're still working on them.
Wow,
still working
really?
On them. And doesn't appear that they have.
I feel bad saying it, because everyone's going to say, well, it could never live up to the hype. Well, it probably couldn't live up to the hype, but
yeah,
this is a stinky game. This is a stinky game, whatever the hype was. You know, it looks, if this had come out in 1997, you know, maybe it would kind of hold its own. But in terms of, you know, that we've had Halo, we've all these games we've had where you run around shooting monsters and shooting aliens and stuff. Everyone's done it so much better.
Yeah,
now.
It screams cheap cash in, really, yep. For me, because it's gone in at number one despite all
right.
of the reviews.
Yeah, and it's had terrible reviews everywhere.
Yeah,
one good one.
Our own review came in at 3 out of 10 for this game,
wow.
And it's riddled with flaws. Yeah. Not least of which is the loading times.
45 seconds to load up. I genuinely thought that the Xbox had frozen,
broken,
and
yeah.
I'm pushing the button, saying I'm going to get up and turn this off in a minute and turn it on again. That's incredible.
It's really poor. And as you say, other games have done it so much better. We've had Bulletstorm just this year.
Yeah, of course.
Which has done the over-the-top shooter violence type thing really well.
Bulletstorm is the game that Duke Nukem should have been, really. That kind of smooth,
absolutely.
Fluid, shouty, sweary kind of thing. And it's just...
But it's definitely a place for games like that. But you've got to be a bit more smart about it in this day and age. You can't get away with bringing out a game that would have been good in 97 when it was meant to come out. It needs something more than that.
They've relied on that nostalgia thing, which is just a shame, really.
Yeah.
And they weren't letting anybody get hold of it before.
That should always ring alarm bells, okay? Can we make a pact, team, that from now on, whenever we can't get our hands on a game, right, and they're alarm bells, let's get an alarm bell sound effect and ring it, because that is worrying. You know, and it is the nostalgia thing. It's been hyped, and to be honest, we've probably been part of the hype machine. You know, we've kind of been sucked in by that. Oh, it's 15 years, it's finally coming. Oh no, it's been delayed again. Oh, it's been delayed again. And you know, we've been talking about it, and I kind of feel disappointed that maybe we encourage people to buy it, and it's a stinker. You know, I played it for about 40 minutes. If you've played it, I'm still in his like complex. I'm trying to get out, and I'm shooting aliens. And that's it. I'm probably not going to go back to it.
I put it up on Twitter about it being a stinker, basically, and I had a lot of people agreeing with me, but a lot of people saying, "Oh, don't be so harsh on it."
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it was never going to live up to the hype, like you say. Yeah. But I think there's a difference between living up to the hype and just being.
It'd be good to hear that from people that consider themselves fans of Duke Nukem, whether they have got hold of this game and genuinely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it's had bad reviews, but then reviewers are often approaching things from a different way.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Same
as Verity, though. I tweeted it, and I know if people say, it's all right, you know, it's just a good bit of fun.
Mm.
We've got a new Facebook page, haven't we?
We certainly
Shall
do.
We, let's plug that, because while you're listening to this, dear podcast listener, then you can also go and sign up to the Facebook page and post your comments as you're listening live. What is the Facebook page?
Please do, yeah. It's facebook.com/MSN Gamecast.
Easy. That's an easy one to remember.
Exactly.
We'll mention it again a few times. While you're listening, go to the Facebook page now and post your comments live about this, and we'll try and read them in the next thing. It's the game starts off with you having a Wii. Press right trigger to Wii. And I think, and apparently, and I didn't do this, if you go into a cubicle, you can pick up a poo.
Oh, no.
This is one of the, I don't know, this is one of the reviews said you can pick it up and throw it. Now, you're genuinely disgusted by Verity's face. Apparently, I don't know if that's true. This is one of the reviews said it. And it's that kind of thing, I'm trying to think, well, if I was 16, I mean, that was 22 years ago, but if I was 16 years old and playing that, would I have found that funny? Possibly. A 16-year-old boy, in, you know, sort of, maybe, but... It just feels so strained and tired now.
Even Matt, who is, I said, the colleague that went to have a look at it 2 months, he's a massive Duke Nukem fan, huge Duke Nukem fan. And even he said he was disappointed. So, I mean, as a fan, but he still gave it a better, would have given it a better score than some of the reviews. But then we made the point that he didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you went out and paid £40 for it, would you be... as kind of blasé.
I got mine through the post, thank you very much. If I'd have paid for that, I would have been there. I'm going to try and trade it in as quickly as I can while there's still a little bit of value.
Yeah, we've all moved on. We've moved on in the time since Duke Nukem was relevant.
Yeah.
I don't know, is this the end? Will they announce another one? It's selling well. So
but maybe, will it sell next week?
Is there any way you can get it? There probably isn't. It would be great to get, if there was like a returns chart of like number of games that were returned back to like Game and HMV and all these different shops. So you'd be interested to see first week sales, first week
returns.
I'm sure there isn't. I'm sure that doesn't exist at all. But that might be interesting to shops think about doing it. Duke Nukem, thumbs down.
But an awesome launch party.
Was it I was invited. I didn't go to the party. Well, speaking
it
of
was mental.
Awesome. Why was it mental?
Oh, it was just crazy. I mean, it was like Duke Nukem in real life. Wow. Girls in school uniform walking around pouring tequila and vodka down your throat. Just madness.
Well, I went to a launch party, and I never go to launch parties. But the reason I went to this, look, am I allowed to say this? I'm going to say this, and you can make the executive decision as to whether it's allowed to go out or not. I was invited to the launch of Child of Eden. Did you know? And basically, if you've been on the telly and you're invited, you've got a free Xbox, free Kinect, and a free copy of the game. Now, I don't have Kinect, so I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go. And basically, I had to be there for 30 minutes and tweet, yeah, this game's really good. That was all I had to do to get a free Xbox. And I thought, well, the free Xbox, I'll give it to my nephew. Kinect I've not got, and I'll get a copy of the game. So I went. And I'm not saying this because I'm under the corporate thumb and I've taken the dirty shilling, but... it's a really good game. It's a strange game. It's on the Kinect, and it's kind of like Res for the 21st century, where you have to basically what do you have to do with your right hand? I had this girl who we went to the same university, was showing me how to play, and she was Claire, very nice. Anyway, with your right hand, you've got to kind of like catch all these things and aim at them. And when you've targeted them, you flick your right hand like that, and that blows them up. And with your left hand, you've got to get all the kind of like purple things that are coming towards you, right? And then this like hot, sort of vaguely Asian-looking girl comes up on the screen. It's like, ah. And it gets quite sexy. It does get quite sexy. And it's all psychedelic, and it's playing music, and it's, you know. So it's good. It's a good game. It's the first game I've seen on Kinect that is something a little bit different and is a little bit special. And probably won't sell that many, I wouldn't have thought, because it's still kind of quite a niche, arty, Japanese-styly... weird game that tend not to do so well in the UK, which is a shame because it is a good...
I really hope it does well. I couldn't go to the launch event, so I've not actually played it myself. I think I saw it at TGS when you couldn't play it. I'd only watch somebody else play it. And it looked awesome. So I'm looking forward to giving it a go.
It's good fun. You know, it's tiring because the level's like 15, 20 minutes each and you're just doing that for 20 minutes. I think I was putting too much into it. That Claire did keep saying you can do gentler movements, and I was really kind of banging
really
away.
Hammering.
Well, it's like when you first started to play, you know, Wii bowling, like those years ago, you used to stand up and properly put your arm back, whereas you actually learnt you could just flick your wrist and you wouldn't get the same result, so that's probably the same sort of thing.
But I really enjoyed it, and again, I do have to stress, you know, I would have taken their corporate money, and if I'd have thought it was a stinker, I wouldn't have sent the tweet out, and you know, they can give me whatever. I would be genuinely honest and say if I thought it was rubbish. I thought it was really good. It's nice to see something that isn't running around shooting people and, you know, with a big gun and swearing, and so do something a little bit arty and a little bit more creative and a little bit different. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Although, it gives you a sense of power, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing the game, because as you unleash these bolts and fireballs that you have to send at the screen, you're actually doing it with your hands and really pushing towards.
You
the
do
screen.
Feel like you've got superpowers.
Yeah,
there's that bit when you've got your hands out, and it does feel. Although I did spend 20 minutes afterwards trying to find the man with the free Xboxes. Can I get my? I've got one, but can I get my Xbox? It's under the stairs now. It'll never get used. Anyway, and the final game I've been playing, I've had quite a lot this week, this month. It's been good. Alice, Return to Madness?
Madness Returns.
Madness Returns.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, do you know what? I really like the look of it. The titles
Lovely.
And everything are incredible. They're with the kind of like sort of paper puppets. And the titles are just, you know, stunning. If the game were that, then I would love it totally. Then you kind of go into the gameplay, and it's all a little bit mysterious and a bit surreal, and you're chasing a cat around a weird town, and then you enter this weird kind of... It was all right. It was basically a really old-fashioned platformer, but in 3D with quite an interesting story around it.
Right.
If I'm honest, it's not my cup of tea, and about an hour into it, I kind of just found myself... I'm not very good at platformers in the sense that I always kind of get lost and can never... find where I've got to jump to get up to the next level and run around. And I spent 15 minutes in one level just trying to find how to move on. And this is me being an idiot. This is not a fault of the game, I don't think. I just thought, I can't be bothered with
I'm
this.
Waiting for my copy. I'm really excited. I quite like a platformer every now and then to go back to a platformer. And I'm looking forward to it because I saw it. That was another one I saw at TGS.
Yep.
Again, I couldn't play it, but just saw it. And it just looked... lovely.
Did you see all the title screens and
stuff?
Yeah. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really quite...
gorgeous.
Gorgeous and horrific as well. There's some really nasty bits.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it is a good little game. Again, it's not had great reviews.
No,
I read a few reviews
there's
online.
There's been a lot of similar comments about saying that it looks lovely.
Yeah.
And if it played as good as it looked,
right.
it would be a fantastic game.
Right.
But gameplay, a bit middling and just not very inspired.
Yeah, it seems to be a game that's all right. And if you like... that kind of if you like platformers, then you'll probably quite enjoy it. You know, it doesn't break any new. Sorry, my voice is going. It doesn't break any new territory. It doesn't do anything that I've not seen before.
I guess it's another because that's a sequel that's been in the making for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because it was a PC only game, I think, previously. So again, kind of similar to Duke Nukem. It'd be interesting to see what the fans of the first game have to say about it. Because I
was unaware of the first game. If you've played the first game and you're looking forward to this, you've played it, Facebook page, let us know. Post up your comments and we'll pick the best ones.
Mm.
Nick, what have you been playing?
Well, LA Noire dominated my
look
gameplay
at you, you're
this
all
month,
branded
really.
Up. Look at you, you.
I'm wearing my LA Noire shirt.
Verity, what I got a free Xbox. He's got a free shirt. What have you got free this month?
Nothing.
Oh, come on. PR people, games companies, come on. We are open to bribes, but don't leave Verity out in the cold. Send her, you know, some jewellery or something. Jewellery, shoes.
I just would like to get a copy of the game. Any reason I got LA Noire because Nick got two.
I got sent LA Noire, but it took ages for them to send it to me, so I went out and bought it. That's how keen I was to play it. It was worth the investment.
Well worth
it. You've enjoyed it. How far have you got?
I'm currently in the Vice Squad, so I'm sort of a little bit around about three quarters of the way through.
Okay, are you on disc three yet?
I am indeed. Okay. Yes, yeah. So I'm cleaning up the streets with my buddies in Vice, and I've thoroughly.
You're actually living it, aren't you? You're
I'm
totally
really
living it.
Well, yeah, I have the shirt and everything.
It's boiling hot in here, and he's wearing a thick.
It's like a flannel military shirt.
It's thick,
it's nice.
No, a Marine's shirt. Sorry, yes.
It's a Marine's shirt. Yeah, yes.
So, it's a Marine's shirt. You're right. Don't offend him. Come on.
I look like Colt Phelps. In his Marines days, sort of. But Eleanor, loving it all the way through. It's really nice to play something a little bit different. Mm. And you know the action elements in it aren't all that great.
No,
I would say, but the storytelling just overrides it all because it really draws you into this world.
I'm really enjoying the game. Can I play Devil's Advocate? And this is what some people have said to me: it's boring, it's repetitive. It doesn't matter if you get anything right or wrong.
Yeah, out of those 3 points, I'd hold the most with the last one because, it doesn't really. As you're interrogating people, you're going to get through the case no matter what.
Yeah.
But then, having said that, if you're the kind of gamer that plays for scores or plays for really beating the game, each time you can aim for that 5-star rating.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you do get things wrong, you're not going to get your 5 stars. Yeah. So there's replay value in it there if you want to go back and beat what you've done before.
I think a lot of people were expecting it to be more like Grand Theft Auto, more running around and shooting and stuff. And there's not really a lot of shooting unless you kind of take the mini missions and stuff like that. Mm. And it is a bit more sedate. And I like it for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
That it is, and for me, it's the storytelling. It's the it's a, it would be a brilliant film. You know, I still don't quite know how this doctor guy fits in with the rest of the story, and I'm looking forward to finding out. You know, that's what's keeping me going back. I don't bother driving the car. I let the other fella drive the car.
We were just saying that today.
Can't be bothered. Really. Pointless. You can drive. Where are we going? Eh? We're going to go back to the police station. But it's gruesome, isn't it, Verity?
Well, a little bit. It's all right.
Dead naked ladies with carvings. I was genuinely shocked when I saw... I don't think I can say that on the podcast, so I've not. I've just indicated using my body. But I was shocked when I saw that on screen.
Well, it's an adult game.
Oh, I totally agree. I
guess
totally
agree, though. It's,
but you know, there are going to be like 14-year-old boys at home going, come and have a look at this. You never guess what I've just seen, and they'll be showing that. Have you played it, Verity?
Have played it.
It's kind of like an old-fashioned point and click, which you're a fan of.
I am indeed. Yes, so I've been really enjoying it. I've been meaning to play it for ages, and I've really got stuck in just recently. So I'm only just at the end of disc one.
Right, okay. I'm not much further ahead of you.
Yeah, so I'm just finishing off the last one in Traffic.
Right.
But I'm loving it. I've seen so many comments. Like, I think you were saying that Nick was saying that his lovely wife now enjoys watching it because you don't even have to be playing it to enjoy it. I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter that, oh, my friend, my housemate, my boyfriend, my girlfriend has just bought L.A. Noire, and it's just brilliant to watch. It's without even having to be playing it. But yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's taken hours out of when I should be sleeping. so yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Short. I was surprised how quickly I got from disc one to disc two. Because I don't really have long sessions anymore, but I was almost on disc two almost immediately. But it's good, and it is interesting, because I was eight for ages, was watching the main guy going, oh, he doesn't half look like the guy from Mad Men. And I Googled it, and of course, it's the guy from Mad Men, you know, and it's brilliant that they've got proper actors in who, you know, are acting really well, and I'm totally smitten with it. And I can see the flaws that people say it's short and it is repetitive, you know, but it's quite a nice repetitive. I quite like it.
I think you can definitely make it longer by doing all of the side missions and ticking all of the boxes when you go into the kind of like the landmarks that you can check off and all the cars. I think for people that, like you were saying, people that really want to finish a game properly, it's got a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, the main mission, I think they were saying, is about 20 hours, 20...
Yeah, about that. Yeah, the missions get progressively longer as you go through the game. Yeah. So those first missions on this one, they are much shorter. But isn't it just nice to have something properly new? Like really refreshing and new. And you can see where... I mean, obviously it'll become a series. There'll be L.A. Noire 2 or something else noir or whatever. And that's great because you can see all of the improvements they're going to be able to make in the upcoming sequels.
You're right. That's the exciting thing, that this is the first game of this kind of style ever, you know. And it's the we'll look back on it in 5 years' time. Do you remember L.A. Noire? Jeez, that game sucked compared to L.A. Noire 7, you know. And it'll be that kind of thing. But I get a thumbs up from me. There are kind of flaws, but tiny ones.
Some of the cutscenes I'm watching, and I just, it looks so real. I mean, I know it's been based on actors' faces, but it's almost like, looks so real.
Wasn't it exciting when you go to the film studio and you find there's a secret camera behind the wall and he's been filming people? Oh, dirty dog, dirty dog. Anything else you've been playing, Nicholas?
I finished off Portal 2, and I was talking about that last month, and I hadn't finished it at the time, and I finished it off, and I love it even more now.
I believe I may be getting Portal 2 as a late birthday present from my sister, so I've heard good things. It was recommended to me by Charlie Brooker, of all people, and I trust his opinion greatly. So.
Well, get it, and then get it for a friend as well, because the co-op mode on it is excellent as well, that you can play online.
Yeah.
So, it's a real classic, a proper classic game.
Okay, I kind of said last time it didn't sound like my thing, but I've been speaking to more people because someone famous recommended it. I'm well in there because I'm a sucker.
Sign me up.
Verity, have you been playing anything, or have you been listening to hardcore R&B all month? As I know you like to.
Shut up. I went back to Broken Sword on my iPhone.
Yeah.
So I'm nearly finished that. That's about it, really.
Anything else?
No.
a good month for games, really.
It has
interesting.
Been.
We not managed to play, what was it, Dump Truck Heroes or whatever? What was it?
Oh, Garbage Truck.
Garbage Truck Simulator.
We wanted to call it in, but.
Someone got back to us on Twitter about that, and apologies, I've not got your tweet here, but he'd just written a review of it online.
Oh, wow.
So I went and checked out his review. He was quite complimentary, actually.
Really?
He said in the underrepresented garbage truck simulator sector, it really stands out. So, you know, if that is your thing.
It's made me laugh. It's made me chuckle. Well done. E3.
Yeah.
Big things have been announced. Finally, let's do the hardware first, because finally hardware looks like we may be taking a few steps forward.
Yeah.
What this new Wii, now I've heard about the new Wii, and I kind of understand what it does, but I've not seen any photos of it or anything.
Yes, well, the new Wii is called Wii.
Hang on, we have to be quiet because our sound man is leaving for his appraisal. Good luck. Hopefully see you next month. So, yes, the new Wii. Is it Wii U?
The new Wii is
Wii
the
U.
Wii U, yes. Wii U. This is the name for which I'm not a huge fan of that name, but that's the very least.
Come on, forget the name, Nick. I want to know about the console hold and stuff.
Well, the bit that everyone's seen and the bit they've really been pushing is the controller.
Yeah.
Crazy controller. 6.2-inch touchscreen right in the middle of it. So it looks like... I mean, I'm sure everybody's seen it by now, but it looks like...
I've not seen
it. You haven't seen it at all?
No, no.
Okay, so it looks like you've got a tablet computer right in the middle of a regular Xbox controller, really, because you've got thumbsticks on there, there's triggers on the back, but in the middle there's this hulking big touchscreen.
Fantastic.
And, it looks properly bonkers. And that was the real heart of Nintendo's presentation.
And so what I've read about it is that you can use the touchscreen to control the game, you can use it to tilt and control the game as well, and then if you want to stop playing on the TV, you can take the game and play it on the screen as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sounds awesome, doesn't it?
And it interacts with your TV too. So if you're seeing the same screen on there as on the telly. So they showed a tech demo, which was a Pirates game where they're shooting arrows at the screen.
Yeah.
And you use this controller as a shield. So depending on where you hold it, you can block all of the arrows.
The Japanese are bonkers.
And they also suggested that, like, for something like... if Fable ever, you know, moved over to the Wii or something along those lines, you could have, like, your inventory on your... on the touchscreen, so a lot quicker to go into that and things like that.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think that'd be neat. But it's more powerful, so get HD graphics from start,
good.
Which obviously
well done.
The Wii should have had when it came out.
Yeah.
But it's got the capability to run today's big franchise games as well. So you could see the big kind of Battlefield games and Bioshocks and games like that coming to... Nintendo.
Oh, I've got big home console. I'm very excited. Have we got any news on dates or anything?
2012.
Yeah.
Well, that's not so, that's not
yeah.
so bad.
April 2012 at the earliest.
That's not so bad.
But
that's
maybe, you know, might go as far back as December. But that's, that's the general idea on dates. Don't have any word on pricing.
I guess my guess would be $300 stateside, £400 UK.
That's about right.
It's always more over here for the UK.
Sounds
for some
about
reason.
Right.
I just don't really. You're only supposedly use one of these controllers, the Wii U controllers, per anything. You can't have four people.
Right. Okay.
Like you can have three other people using the normal Wiimotes, and then
only supports one.
Yeah,
one touchscreen controller, but four Wiimotes.
So I think that's kind of odd. Like, who would you choose to have the?
Well, me. I would have the controller definitely, and you guys could use the Wiimotes. Is that right?
No, I'm having it.
Ooh, steady on, Nick. Listen, my house, my rules, right?
Man,
you come around.
Never get the controller.
It's genuinely very exciting. Which I at last we're edging towards the next gen, which would be.
It's had a mixed reception,
right?
The people that were on the floor at E3 who saw it and got hands-on with it were pretty much unanimously in favour of it and were raving about it. But a lot of the people that have just seen it come up on the websites and all the reviews and stuff have been a bit more sniffy about it and saying,
is
this really what we want?
Yes, it is. You're idiots.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, everyone that's complained about you're an idiot, it sounds brilliant. What are you talking about?
It seems really... big. I don't think you can imagine playing a long game with it.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, but for hours.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm totally there.
Totally there.
Get a nice cushion on your lap. Kind of rest it there and lean it against the cushion. I'm doing it.
All right.
It sounds the most awesome thing to me. You're not buying it, Verity.
Until I see it, I'm gonna withhold my judgment.
You two never agree on anything.
We don't, do we?
It's very tense between us. Maybe we should go. Let's go out for a coffee one day and let's
just sort out our differences.
Thrash it out. But you like it. You kind of maybe yes. It's a boys. Maybe yeah. It's a boys thing. It could be as simple as that. Boys, you know, boys' toys. I don't want to.
No, I think I like the idea because about a day or two before it was announced, it kind of leaked. I was like, that sounds really cool. Just when I saw it, it just seemed huge. I think it's the same sort of size as an iPad.
Right.
So I just don't know about gaming with one of those for a long time. But then obviously you have got the option of Wiimote. So maybe it'll be okay for some games, not for others.
Yeah, I guess you would pick and choose which games you used it for.
The only thing I wonder about is who's going to buy it. Because the Nintendo Wii has been the casual gamers market. And it's been your nan can play golf.
Yeah.
Because she just grabs the Wiimote and it's easy. You just swing it like a golf
club. My nan can't, Nick. She's not with us anymore. But I take your point. Yes, I take your point.
And you know, with this, it's a touchscreen, it's a proper controller, and it's a barrier to those kind of casual games players. So, really, you're kind of going after the hardcore gamers, but a lot of them are looking at it and saying, oh, it's another gimmick. Not really sure if I want that.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you're right, the Wii has kind of has touched everybody, and will people go for this? I don't know, it's one of those things. I mean, they've got a year at least to get their
to
marketing machine and
to
make us all think this is what we've always wanted, and why did we never think of this before?
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what, in the next 2 years, what Xbox and what Sony, what PlayStation and Microsoft come up with. Because, fair play, Nintendo started the wireless, you know, controllers, the wiggling, the things about in front of the screen.
Certainly did.
And everyone went, that looks rubbish. And then a few years later, Microsoft and Sony copied it, basically. They improved on it, but they took the same idea. So.
It was exactly the same kind of reception then, yeah.
The PlayStation Vita?
The Vita.
Again,
yeah.
I've not rubbish seen name.
This. Oh, it's a stinker, isn't it?
It's not good.
Why do they call it the Vita? Mind you, it's going to get shortened. It'll be the PSV, so we don't have to bother with this Vita rubbish.
PSV, okay, yes.
The PSV, I think we can work with that.
It's a new handheld.
But, yeah, it's awesome. I'm really excited about
this.
This
is what Nick's excited about.
This is the one that really really floats my boat.
Yeah.
PSV, yes, brilliant. It's touchscreen handheld console, 5-inch OLED screen.
OLED.
So
I don't know what that means. I'll put my hands up. I don't know what that means.
It's really, really bright.
Thank you, Verity.
How's that?
Good. I can understand that.
So a pin sharp super resolution screen. The kind that you're getting on today's top end mobile phones.
Okay.
And it will look fantastic. It's got enormous amount of power inside it. There's quad core processors and all sorts going on inside.
Quad core processors. You can't go wrong with those.
Effectively means it can run games almost as good as the current PS3
games
on a handheld.
Yeah.
And amazing things in it, like there's a touchscreen on the back as well. So you know now if you're playing a touchscreen game on your phone and your fingers are always getting in the way on the screen.
Yeah.
But here you've got the touchscreen on the back, so you're moving your fingers around on the back.
You can do it like that.
The device. Yeah.
Okay.
As you're gripping it. And amazing extra features on it, such as being able to play handheld games on the move against people that are playing on their PS3 at home. So you're both playing the same type of game.
It's about time that happened, yeah.
You can also be playing a PS3 game, pause it, take your PSV with you and carry on playing the same game while you're on the bus.
They say that, Nick. They say that. But is that actually going to be able to happen?
Well, it saves the game into the cloud, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Well, in some games that have been announced, there's one that's been announced called Ruin. And this does that. It saves your game up into the cloud. So whether you get exactly the same graphics and experience on the handheld one remains to be seen. But you can still carry on playing it. And that's something that I've wanted to see in games for quite some time now. You know what a big fan I am of the Fallout series, for instance.
Oh, yes.
And exploring that world while I'm on the 1-hour commute into work would be ideal. I'd probably
never
start
do any work.
I'd commute further.
Yeah.
But there's so many cool things about the PSV. I'm genuinely excited about it.
I just think it's expensive.
What are they saying?
We've only had a US price, but it's $300. Hold on, $350. Which means it's going to be £350
quid, isn't it?
Talking about £249 for the Wi-Fi version.
Oh.
Or £299.
$300.
This is dollars for the 3G version.
Okay.
So you can get a 3G one. The guest prices for the UK is about £235 for the bottom one.
Oh. That's not That's not so bad. Yeah. I thought it was more expensive than
this. When's it coming out?
This is probably going to be out before Christmas.
Wow.
Well, almost certainly going to be out before
Christmas.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
toys.
This is imminent.
This is
one for the Christmas.
Apart
list.
From, you've got to talk about that game. What was it called?
Oh my God, Dragon's Crown.
Oh, it's a beaut. If you haven't seen it, you need to have
go to the Facebook page.
We've put it on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And it's a trailer for one of their launch titles.
Yeah.
And it just looks terrible. it looks, I mean, in some ways people are going to go, well, that's awesome. It looks like an up-to-date Golden Axe.
It doesn't look up-to-date. It looks exactly the same as Golden Axe.
No, it's better than the Mega Drive
it's
graphics.
It's like the last 20 years never happened.
It's better than the Mega Drive graphics, but it's...
They should use it on the box. Better than Mega Drive graphics. Verity. MSN Gamecast.
You know when you used to die and Golden Axe used to come back flashing?
Yeah.
That's what happens in this game.
What's it called? Dragon?
Dragon's Crown?
Yeah.
Dragon's Crown. It's on the Facebook, on the MSN Gamecast Facebook page.
Facebook.com/MSN Gamecast.
Okay, we shall have a look.
Take a look at it, comment, and see what you think.
Nick, take us through this stuff. The rest of the stuff you've got.
Well, the rest of the big news from E3, which, first of all, Halo is back. Who'd have thought it?
But hang on, Halo finished. They said that was it. It's over. No more.
It did, didn't it?
It's never going to be the end, was it?
Back.
Okay.
It's back. It turns out Halo makes money. So,
I see. So a cash cow. The gravy train is out riding again. Okay.
There's a new trilogy coming. So we saw a really, really brief clip of Halo 4.
But is Halo 4 just Halo 1 reskinned?
That's another game. There is going to be Halo 1 reskin rebooted.
Okay.
Which we'll get before Christmas.
Okay. Halo 1.2 or whatever.
That's, so it's a bang up to date version of Combat Evolved. Halo 4, brand new game, start of a brand new trilogy.
Yeah.
The small video that we saw just saw Master Chief being awoken from stasis by the computer ship Cortana and finding out the ship he's on is about to blow up and into smithereens and, time to go and save the world.
Same old, same old. I mean, it will be fun. Of course, it'll be fun. Halo games are great fun, you know. And
hey, this is cool. You'll like this 3D. I know you.
Oh yeah, big fan of 3D. Yeah. That's still
especially
kicking around,
so
it?
That you can make a tenner off of Verity. Sony, as part of their briefing, they announced a 3D TV bundle for under $500.
All right. Yeah.
So you get it's a 24-inch screen, but 3D capable. You get your glasses. And you get a copy of Resistance 3 when that comes out, and you get the little cables to connect it all together.
Do you know why they're doing that? Because nobody is buying 3D, and they are panicking.
You're undermining your own argument there, Ian.
What? No,
you're meant to be the big champion.
No,
in 3D.
I'm the champion.
I hate 3D.
Are you? Oh, right,
have you not been paying attention to anything we've said in the last few months? So let's just set the ground rules. I think 3D is a waste of time. Verity loves 3D.
I don't necessarily love it. I just don't think it's going to die like you do.
It's going to die like a shot horse at the end of the Grand National.
So I should be selling this to Verity.
Yes, look away.
Yeah, Verity, yeah.
Take that shirt off. It's affecting your mind.
No,
actually,
thing,
I've done my Elaine Noir bit.
The thing I think is cool about this, not because I want to win £10, but the TV, when you're playing, co-op with somebody in the same room in the same room on the same TV you'll see two different images. Each person will see a different image. How? I don't know. It's magic.
It's
pretty sweet
if that happens. Cool. That's cool. But 3D is so on the way out. The cinema is 3D is coming to an end. You know that, don't you? You've heard that news, guys. That it's bombed miserably. That Pirates of the Caribbean in 3D did okay, but they spent like $200 million on it, and it I don't know if it's taken that, but it's not taken a lot of profit. Hangover 2, which is a 2D film, cost like $40 million. It's taken $300 million, something like that. I'm literally making those figures up. But
that's the best way to build a winning argument.
I'm just making numbers up. But the argument holds true that Hollywood is shocked that a cheap sequel has completely trounced a really expensive 3D movie.
Wow.
So 3D cinema is
game over. But you mentioned Milo
Yes.
Milo has not been forgotten, it turns out.
Milo's coming back.
Peter Molyneux was back at E3.
Of course he was.
As he always is, announcing a new Fable
game. He was outside the front door selling a bottle of medicine that will cure all ills. Yeah, okay, yeah, Peter. Yeah, go on, Alex. Yeah.
But he was there announcing Fable The Journey, which is the latest in the Fable series. And a comment that was made afterwards by him was that it would include a lot of the technology that was shown off in the Milo demo. So,
see, this doesn't surprise me, because I interviewed him at last E3, because there was supposed to be Kinect functionality in Fable 3, and they said that there was going to be, and then they pulled it back, because they said, we didn't want to go back and just shove in Kinect functionality where there wasn't any previously. Yeah. What we want to do is build it from the ground up. So I'm not surprised by that at all. And I think it could work quite well. Apparently you can ride a horse and cart with just Kinect. And
I hope it's true. I love Peter Molyneux.
He is
But you
brilliant.
Kind of get the sense of like him doing this talk and everybody walking goes, no, but guys, come back. You can use Kinect with Fable now. Oh, okay, Peter, yes. What's that you say? You can do this. I'm hearing as well, is this with the Fable or in other games? You can kind of talk. There's got voice.
This is Mass Effect 3.
Okay. Mm,
we did that at the same time.
We did.
But, Mass Effect 3, voice recognition. It's mainly going to be used for the dialogue options in the game.
Okay.
And also for controlling your AI squad mates.
Yeah.
So,
because you have voice recognition before.
Yeah.
It's always been a nice, it's popped up in a few games and been a nice little gimmick. It's not
they
really,
did in Rainbow Six, didn't they?
They had in one of the Rainbow Sixes, they had voice recognition. And there was that that game that we talked about, that came out a couple of years ago, where you control like helicopters and stuff, and you'd say, Unit A, take
war.
Which was not a particularly good game, unfortunately. No. But
seems to be something they put into Tom Clancy games quite a lot.
Yeah.
The trouble with it is that I always feel a complete plum when I'm barking orders at my TV.
I love it. I love
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's exactly the same as when you're on the phone to your bank, and they're like, say one for this option, and you're in on the train or something, you're like, one. Sorry, what was that? What was that? Could you please repeat that? You're like, one. And then you're like, oh, can you say your balance? You're like, balance.
You asked for Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. No,
yeah,
I didn't!
Exactly.
What else have we got? Nick has written some notes here, dear listener. God bless you for doing it. And he's gone into some detail. Sony's PlayStation 3D TV, three-dimension for the masses, under $500 in the States. BioShock Infinite will be brilliant. Arkham City will also be brilliant. Nick, discuss.
There's nothing more to say. If you've not seen the E3 trailers for those two games, go watch them now. Mm. BioShock Infinite looks like the best game I've ever played in my life.
Wowzers, okay.
It just looks ridiculously good. But I'm speaking as a bit of a fanboy, because I loved the original BioShock so much. But this is all up in the sky, and the combat looks so much tighter. You're zooming around on these rails. You've got this crazy rail slide thing that hooks into your hand.
Yeah.
And this whole construction that floats in the sky is held together with these looping rails. So it's almost like you're riding a roller coaster while playing the game. And you go plummeting down between all of these areas. And the whole thing just looks incredibly fast and immersive and brilliant.
I think dates? We've got dates for these two games?
Really great game. BioShock Infinite is ages away. It's sometime in 2012. Arkham City will have by the end of this year. It's November release.
Okay.
And that also looks cool. And he gets to play as Catwoman. It's all good fun.
Meow. Mm. 3DS game announcements. Super Mario 3D, Luigi's Mansion 2, Mario Kart 3D, Paper Mario 3D, Star Fox 64.
Nothing new there, is there?
Nothing new. It's this 3DS thing. I do think it's a great little machine, but give us some games that show us that. I mean, Mario Kart, I'm a huge fan of Mario Kart, so as you know, so I will probably be having a go on that.
That would be great.
Yeah, it'd be good fun.
That'll work really well in 3D.
Yeah. But just something new, please, that really utilises the 3D, you know, that really you have to play in 3D.
What's strange is that Kid Icarus Uprising, which they were shouting about at the launch of the 3DS, and looked fantastic, one of the better ones I played, I think. There's still no launch date for it, which just seems so bizarre when it was one of the ones they really put out there front and centre, and we're still not even after E3 do we have a date for it, so that's a bit odd.
Alarm bells. Yeah. Alarm bells is ringing.
Definitely. But something with a bit of creativity, and someone that uses that augmented reality stuff and the camera and all that kind of thing.
If they don't do it soon, they're going to kind of lose the excitement and the inertia that they've built up from the launch.
Absolutely.
You know, they've not lost it already, you know. So it'll be such a shame if in 10 years' time we kind of look at the 3DS like we look at the Virtual Boy, or, you know, as a kind of, do you remember when they released that and for 6 months it was what everyone talks about and then disappeared? And it would be awful if that, if that were the case. We've got Twitter and Facebook comments.
Yeah, and thanks for your comments. We've got this new Facebook page now, which I'll repeat, which is facebook.com/MSN Gamecast.
I'm not joined on there yet because I'm having problems with my Facebook. I've got 4,990 friends, and they're all very close friends of mine. But it says that when I try to like the page, it won't let me like it. It says I've got too many.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have a massive... I'm going to get rid of 100 of them tonight. Losers. And we're also Twitter. If you want to tweet, it's #MSNGamecast, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
We'll spread the word. So go on, what are they saying?
Okay, well, we had the G-Break on Twitter talking about E3 and everything that came out, saying, I'm excited about Mass Effect 3 and Kinect, Halo 1 and 4, Uncharted 3, SSX,
SSX
and
the snowboarding
Tomb
game.
Raider.
Yeah, oh, I love SSX. SSX Tricky.
Back.
Oh man, SSX Tricky on the GameCube was such an awesome game, right? And it was the girl I was going out with before my wife. It was the only game that she could beat me at. She hated computer games, right? And I would spend all day, because she had a proper job, and I was just messing around on the telly every now and then. So I would spend all day playing SSX Tricky, right? Getting really good at it. And go, I've beaten your record. And she'd come in and she'd beat me straight away. And it was incredible. I love that game. Okay.
Yeah, good. So it's coming back, and it looks quality.
Brilliant.
As well. Go check out the trailer.
I will
as
do,
soon
yeah.
as you get the chance, because it just looks really, just perfect graphics. You know,
such a good...
Sort of, yeah. So cool.
Do you remember Amped?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was a
yeah,
stinker. That was one of the launch titles for the Xbox, I think, and was just
played it.
Oh, it was just so wooden and dull.
The other snowboarding game that I liked was Cool Borders.
Yeah, Cool Borders
that
was all right.
On
yeah,
the
yeah.
PlayStation,
yeah,
I've got.
Wasn't
really
there 1080 degrees as well? Was that a snowboarding game?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's all about the tricky, and it's tricky to rock the ramp. It's tricky. It's tricky. It's tricky to rock the ramp. It's a love
coming
that.
Back.
I might dig out my GameCube and have a tricky session at some point tonight. Who's this? Billy Brush, XBL. Okay, E3, nothing as interesting as Child of Eden. Shadows of the Damned. What's Shadows of the Damned?
It's out this month.
I've missed that.
It was announced at TGS. Looks really good.
Yeah, it's a collaboration between the guy behind Resident Evil series and Suda51 for No More Heroes and games like that. It's got some Kinect functionality in it, hasn't it? But it's not Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
And it's basically you going down into hell because your girlfriend's been nicked by some demons.
Oh, man, these demons.
And your name is Garcia Hotspur, which I think is possibly one of the best ever gaming character names. I'd like to hear if anyone knows of any better gaming character names than Garcia Hotspur.
That's pretty.
And that's about it. But it's, you know, it's going to be a bit bonkers, isn't it? With those two, it does
look mental, but it's the trailer was really was really good. Looks interesting.
Billy Brush continues. TGS will be important this year given the earthquake, and it'll be good for Japanese creators to stick together. Their games can get lost at E3.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. TGS last year was really, really important. Sometimes I think TGS can just have a few interesting announcements, but not as many as like E3 or Gamescom. But last year, TGS had some really, really key announcements and really saw the kind of Japanese creativity really coming to the surface. So I'm excited for TGS
this year. I hope it's a good one, because they were talking about downsizing it a little bit because of the earthquake.
Right.
Whether they would be able to have such a big event this year.
Well, if they got the Vita and the U... if they've got those on display, then that's going to be an awesome start anyway, isn't it? That's going
very to true.
Be when is it November? Is it November time?
September.
Okay, so they'd have time to get maybe a shelf a bit more there than perhaps they did at E3.
Yeah,
or at Gamescom. Hopefully. Gamescom's before.
Gamescom in August as well. Yeah. So cool.
Now I don't understand this. M Skunko wants us to talk about the Wii U and what it means to small tellies.
I think that maybe this person is worried about small tellies becoming unemployed, because you can play all your games on the little screen now. So if you've got a small telly, why would you bother using it anymore? And it will sit there unloved in the corner.
You can still use your... M. Skunko, send us more information, because we're not quite sure.
I'm slightly boggled by that.
Verity, any of these that grab your eye?
Oh, this is interesting. How many games have you given up in 5 minutes?
That's from the Gary Show.
How many games have you, from the Gary Show, which games have you picked up and thought, no?
I would have given up Duke Nukem if I wasn't doing this and thought I hoped to play it for a bit longer to kind of give it a fair crack of the whip for this. There's a few. There's so many games. You know, I have a very low kind of boredom threshold for games. 5 minutes is a bit short, though.
Yeah, I don't think...
5 minutes, you can't really see... No, not many in 5 minutes. I would kind of say like an hour. And if I'm not hooked in an hour, then you're going to get traded in.
I've done this with a few games that are really quite highly rated. And the one that springs to mind is Forza 3.
Right.
And it's an amazing driving game, and I can see that. And it's a really, really good recreation of the driving experience. But I really don't like sensible driving games. I get really bored because I get hold of it and I think, I can't.
I'll just go and drive my car.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just, switch it off, play something else. So, yeah, like you say, I gave it a little more than 5 minutes, but not a lot longer than that, to be fair.
Tony O'Hara says, one question. Now is PlayStation Network back up now?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got my welcome backpack.
They got hacked again, didn't they? Did you hear this?
Yes, yeah.
They got hacked. They went up live, and then they got hacked like almost immediately. People going, aha.
Yeah.
Now that PlayStation is back up, would it be more safer? You don't need the word more there, just safer. To buy PlayStation vouchers or change / keep my bank details of buying stuff from the PlayStation store. It's up to you. I would...
I think it's important to say no one's lost any money from this. No, yep. No one has had their bank details hacked. No one's lost anything from their credit cards. And Sony is even offering to give free fraud protection to everyone, on the off chance that they could do.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to believe that it's any less safe to put money into the PlayStation Network than it is to buy vouchers. Yeah. But obviously, yeah, if you're remotely concerned, go buy the vouchers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got the welcome backpack now because it's back up.
Right.
So you get to download a choice of two games. And this was another thing I've been playing a lot of that I didn't mention, but Infamous, which I missed first time around. PS3 exclusive. Infamous 2 has just come out, which has had some great reviews. Mm. So I'm playing my way all the way through the first one.
I've never played it. It's supposed to be a brilliant game.
Such good fun.
Yeah.
Really, really good fun. Yeah, you just... it's a really good take on a superhero type game. You start off with hardly any powers, and the real hook of the game is that you just keep building up your powers as you get through, and it's just really, really well done. Well worth a look, especially for free.
Okay, here's the last one, I think. What do you guys think to BioWare potentially including Kinect technology in ME3? What's that?
Mass Effect
3, of course. To track facial patterns, apparently. They've said they aren't interested in party games or dance Krogan, as they put it. I would imagine BioWare's E3 conference will be a blinder, as per usual. I think they'll avoid multiplayer. Track facial patterns, are they going to do that? I mean, we talked about the voice recognition and...
This was a comment that we had up on the Facebook page before E3.
Right.
So this was when we were still at the guessing stage. And no actual facial tracking.
Yeah.
I think we're a little away from that. But Forza 4 announced they're doing head tracking.
Right.
In their game.
Oh, so you can look.
That looks awesome. That looks really
You look
cool.
around, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Like, so as you tilt your head, you know, like, so when people are playing racing games, they tend to lean one way or the other. And as you're doing that, your field of vision changes on the screen as Kinect follows your head movement.
Cool.
Which
it's cool.
Really
it's a nice
cool.
little gimmick.
Yeah, yes, it's definitely
nice
a gimmick.
Very immersive, yeah.
Nick, give us the Facebook page one more time, please.
Yes, please come to facebook.com/MSNGamecast. Or go onto Twitter and try a hashtag MSNGamecast.
And what's your Twitter name?
You can find me at MSNTechNick, where Nick is N-I-K.
Verity, you're...
MSNTechVerity.
And I'm at Ian Lee. And you can post any comments on the do a hashtag as well, MSNGamecast. And if you post any comments on the Facebook page, we will look them and we will pop in from time to time and reply to them. And the best ones we'll use next month.
Certainly will.
Very nice to see you. I'm so sorry for being late. It's my fault. I owe you some Jaffa Cakes next time.
You'll bring the Jaffa Cakes next time.
I'll
bring the Jaffa Cakes. We'll hold you to it.
Ta-ta.
Bye now.
Bye.
Quick, press the red button.
Where is the red button? Which one?
It's the big red button on the front.
Oh, this one?
Yeah. Gamecast from MSN.